Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. What we want to do today is going to be the continuation of last week's. We were doing the blood number one, and this is going to be a continuation of it. We had some questions at the end of our statements. We'll try to address that when we get through the service here about the blood. And I'm looking forward to that. But before we proceed into the lesson, let's bow our head for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the people that are here, the people who are eager to learn, the people who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to pray for the ones that haven't, because the result is eternal condemnation, and we just wish that everyone has eternal life, and the only way to have that is trusting in your Son. We just pray that we continue to have a place to meet, to preach, let the Word be edified, that everything that we do be done to the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, like I said, it's a continuation of last week. We had some discussion about it, and hopefully we didn't lose somebody because they don't believe in the absolute truth. Now, I'm going to tell you. People have been lied to, and I really mean that. If they haven't been lied to, they've been misinformed. All their religious life about Jesus Christ taking His blood into heaven didn't happen. Contrary to what your personal belief is, it did not happen. And if you're like most everybody that's been in a religious system before, you've been preached to that, yes, Jesus took His blood into heaven. Like I say, didn't happen. We had dealt with this maybe a year and a half ago. Yes, Richard?
I got the verse of Scripture.
Sure.
And it says, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves were the better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's where they get that.
I know. I did not say one word about it. And what we're going to do, not today, probably, we probably won't get into this, but if we have a chance, we will. The blood, Jesus Christ is the Lamb. There's not a drop of Lamb's blood ever went in the Holy of Holies. None. Take it to the bank. Go and look it up. We're talking about a lamb. The bull did. We're not talking about no bull's blood. We're talking about the Lamb of God's blood. So you really got to watch what you're doing in here. So anyway, let's continue on. And for those people that weren't here last week, I'm going to try to catch you up real quick. In Leviticus 17, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to read it so we can progress on. In Leviticus 17, 11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, that blood that we're talking about is the blood of bulls. It says bulls. It also says something about goat blood, but not lamb's blood in the Holy of Holies. But, in verse 14, for it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. It's just a wonderful thing. We said that life is a mysterious thing that science can't figure out. Well, they need to quit trying to figure it out because they're never going to find out because it was spoken into existence by God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, manifest in the flesh. We talked about the physiology of the blood. It's a tissue, just like muscle. But it's mobile. It travels from one point to the next. And what happens is the blood nourishes all flesh. If the blood can't get to it, guess what? That flesh dies. So the blood has to nourish, but it also removes what?
Impurities.
Waste products. It's carried back and excreted or goes out of the lungs, whatever. Now, we said that God cares nothing about man-made divisions, groups. And He's not interested in our self-righteousness. Man, just think of the self-righteousness that this world holds. I don't want to think that I had any because I never thought I was saved in the first place until I trusted. But so I don't see how I could have had self-righteousness before salvation goes. But I'm sure I was a self-righteous individual in something. I just don't know what it was because I surely knew I was lost. I think self-righteousness comes in whenever you're trying to work yourself into an atonement that's already been accomplished for you in AD 33. Your salvation being the moment that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross, the finished work at Calvary. But we need to recognize the unity of the body of Christ. I want to read one. You can go there if you'd like. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and you were studying that yesterday, weren't you, Rick? In Christ.
Yes.
In Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it goes on to tell you we have a ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled. The world has been reconciled back to God. But it's not placed upon your account until you trust that the finished work of Calvary has been accomplished. Now, we're all one by the blood. Does everyone agree with that point? We're all one by the blood. Now, like I said, you've got more people who are interested in, quote, soul winning than they are in telling someone about the truth. They want members to come in and actually walk the aisle, get baptized, put their name on a roll, and don't tell me it's not for money. You need money to operate a church. Tithes. Man, what happens to all those tithes? What's that guy, Joe, that took all the money from Brownsville and run off to Alabama? Had a $500,000 motor home? Fuel Packer. Left Brownsville down here with a bill of what? How many millions? Man, can you imagine the number of people that went to Brownsville? And if they were tithing, and they were, golly, the money that came in.
Hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh, man. Joe went down there. Joe was an usher. He was there. He saw these things. Man-made. Pastor telling you, if you don't give, you're in trouble with the Lord kind of thing. This guy, you're going to give everything you ever owned, and that's not going to get you to heaven. Goodness gracious. But I want you to see that we're all related, all of us, in this room, Russians, Muslims, and everyone else, we're all related by one blood. Do you know that? We are. That's Adam's blood. By the way, just as a side note, I think I'm going to tell you this. I hadn't thought about it. Adam. I told Carol this the day before yesterday. Adam. The first Adam. God made Adam. What did God call Eve? The first woman.
Okay.
Huh? No. What he did, but that's not what I'm looking for. He called them Adam. You know who named Eve? Adam did. So there was two Adams. And if you'll notice, he was the first. She was the second. But you will never find in there, probably, I haven't found it. If you do, I'll correct it. But there's the last Adam. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the second Adam. That's not the third Adam. Because it has to be that word last. Because if it didn't have last, there might be another. He is the last Adam. Why would he be an Adam anyway?
He doesn't have to be part of the man.
That's right. Yes.
Adam means dirt. In other words, it's made out of the dust of the earth.
Some people say red clay. But I don't know if it's red clay because I know what causes that pigmentation in your skin. It's not alcohol, like love. Some people say that brings it to the forefront, fleshness of the face and those kind of things. But it's blood circulating in you. Have you ever noticed? Now, I don't mean to say anybody in here is sickly, but when you don't have circulation really good in you, you're going to have pale and whiteness. I don't mean you're not going to live another 20 years, but the fact of it is, you can tell. Usually whenever a person's around 20 years old, they're so vibrant, you know, without alcohol or anything else. They're flushed, they're red, there are little pigmentations in their skin. That's why I think, instead of red clay, the Bible didn't say it was red clay, by the way. Brother Moore told me it was red clay.
Georgia.
Huh? From Georgia, because that's where the red clay comes. Yes, it does. We all have a common origin, and we all come from Adam. We'll call him our grandfather, so many times removed, because he was. All of us are kin in him. We're looking at a bunch of incestuous human beings. They came out too. Yes, Joe?
Technically, it's been proven that all the blood of the whole world came from one person. You trace it, you break it down enough. Has one time gone,
that's 100% correct. And it's Adam.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I'm so excited about this. I'm going to have to hold back a little bit. Try to catch you up, okay? The blood we talked about carries the sentence of death. Why? Because it's contaminated. You know, when God blew the breath of life into Adam, he became a living soul. Mm-hmm. And that tissue started circulating throughout the whole body. And we're all kin to that great, great, how many removed grandfather Adam. Yes, we know the world was destroyed by the great flood, all but eight souls. We know the Japheth and Shem and Ham, the three boys. We all came out of that bunch right there. We came out of Japheth. Now, George Becker came out of Ham. What happened over there? Hopefully I'll get to this. What happened over in there whenever Noah got drunk? Ham saw his daddy naked. Now the Bible says that he did something to him. I don't believe that's a homosexual act, as I've told you before. But I'm going to consider it more and more. Because I always thought that it was gossip. Because he run and saw his daddy naked, he run back and told his two brothers. And they backed up with a blanket and covered him up to keep from looking upon their dad's nakedness. And Noah, and by the way, God did not say a word about Noah getting drunk. You realize that? Not one word. He covers it in other passages. He don't like drunkenness. Nothing wrong with drink. But I guess it gets me whenever the king, see, Noah had that grandson, and he put a curse on Ham's descendants. Not on Ham, but on Ham's descendants. Cain. Who was in the land at the Exodus whenever they were going over there? The Canaanites. Something to think about. Sinful people. Let me move on or I'll never get to this. We know in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, that God told Adam, the day that thou eatest of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's probably a paraphrase, in that day thou shalt surely die. Eve knew that. She eat of it, got her husband to eat of it. And I've told you before why I thought, and I'm going to do it one more time, just leading up to it. I just think that Adam ate of the tree. He knew in that day that he believed God. He knew that he was going to die. But I knew he did. He, before God created Eve, he looked around and he was the loneliest person on the face of the earth. Why was that? Because he was the only one. But he didn't have a helpmeet like all the beasts did. Fowls, fish. So I knew, or at least I believed, that that's why he went ahead and ate of it, because he knew that he was going to die. So he didn't want to be by himself again. That's just my thought. That's not scriptural whatsoever. But it's just my thought. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Why? Because the blood, I want to draw this up here if I can. The blood. Man, don't tell me that's wrong. I was up here playing around last night. I can't even make the red blood. The blood is tainted. But you know, it was God's blood. And when it went into Adam, it was perfect. Why? Because it's God's blood. God is perfect. So we know that it was tainted by the disobedience to God that Adam created, or failed to, should I say. The whole Bible is about blood, and it always has been, from here all the way through. Until the millennial kingdom is set up. It's about blood. It's about purity of your race. Not necessarily of the white race or the black race, but the purity of the race that Jesus Christ came from. There could not be any mixing in the line of David. No mixing in the line that Jesus Christ came from, which was from David. That's why God hated for Israel to intermarry. He just hated it. Now, don't tell me God can't hate, because the Bible says He can. But you know, that's a true fact. So the bloodline had to be pure. That's why, go ahead, Jim.
Watch his anger. He had their righteous anger. God.
Well, he had that.
And he hated it. It was a righteous thing.
Well, that's true. He just wasn't hateful for spite. But Satan himself, you know, if you remember in Genesis chapter 6, when the fallen angels came and had sexual relations with the daughters of men, it upset God so bad, He destroyed every living thing except 8 people. And those clean animals and those ones for sacrifice and so forth, on the and the rest of the animals, but to the pairs that He put on the Noah's Ark. Satan was trying to infiltrate the bloodline at that time. It's always been that way. It's a war about blood and the bloodline. It had to be perfect. Now, with that in mind, we know, for by one man sin entered into the world, that's Romans 5:12, we know that, and death by sin. We're all guilty of that. All guilty of that. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We've established that. Is there anyone that doesn't believe that? I mean, no, hey, if you don't, just raise your hand or just say, I don't. But life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, I want to get on to what we're going to be talking about today, sin and death. Then Adam eat. He sinned. He eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And guess what happened? He died. He died spiritually right there on the spot. But he died physically 930 years later. And we've always used that scripture out of Peter to show you one day when the Lord is 1,000 years and vice versa. So, life is in the blood. And we've talked about this. When man died, something happened to the blood. It got tainted. I call it blood poisoning, tainted blood. That blood that came from God that was in Adam was perfect. Was no longer perfect. It was tainted. Then we start to get into something interesting. Sin affected what about man? The blood. The blood, not his body. Remember in Luke chapter 12, verse 39, Jesus Christ has a body. What is it? Flesh and bone, because blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh and bone. So there's nothing wrong with flesh and bone. But this sinful blood did not affect the body, except indirectly. Indirectly it did, because the body, the flesh, is supplied by the blood. Now this is the reason that sin is not in the flesh. It's in the blood.
When I was in Bible college in the seminary, I discussed this on a number of occasions, and I guess I've just never been able to reconcile it in my mind. When it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, that meant, in my way of thinking, both of them cannot be, can't go in. But if it's the blood, and the nature of sin is in the blood, and that's what you're really saying.
Exactly.
Part of our is flowing through our body. That's what makes the flesh sinful. So that's what you're really saying.
Exactly. Now, the first mention of blood in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. And it's about Abel's blood crying from the grave, crying from the ground for vengeance on his brother Cain. In Genesis chapter 3, I think I'll go there. Let me show you. Go to Genesis chapter 3 and see if I can find what I'm looking for.
Let me associate that. I want to bring up one point.
Sure.
But flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. It really means untainted blood can't inherit. That's why there's no blood, not life, because our blood is tainted. Only untainted blood can be inherited to the kingdom.
Well, but ain't no blood going.
No blood going there.
Yeah.
So that was the other. That was poured out. So.
Neither Jesus' body had to be transformed.
Regenerated.
Born again. Being able to live. And what you're talking about there. Regenerated, which means born again. See, right now, there's nobody that's ever lived, including Jesus Christ, including God Almighty in the flesh, that could leave, even though he had perfect blood, that could leave this earth and go to the third heaven with blood circulating. He was man, but he was God. He couldn't go because he had to have oxygen to supply the blood, to supply the flesh. When he was regenerated, it may be a different flesh. It may be.
Yeah.
Because the fact of it is, when we get our new body, we're going to be prepared to go where there is no oxygen and we won't have to have it.
He had to.
That's the key. He had to die. He couldn't go back with that blood in him. Not that that's a... Now, over here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, verse 7 of Genesis 3, and the eyes of them both, Adam and Eve, were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Uh-oh. The age of innocence left. It is now the age of conscience. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And that's where I want to take up here. Adam and Eve, after their sin, they tried to make garments to cover their shame, didn't they? They now knew that they were naked. What did they try to make them of? Fig leaves. Man's been doing it ever since. He's been trying to cover up his sin. He's been trying to work for it. Trying to do something on his own. What happened to them? They didn't realize they needed an atonement or a remission for sins. All they were looking for was a cover. To cover it up so wouldn't nobody see them. Man's been doing this. He's been trying to manufacture those garments, in other words, ways to get to heaven, to cover up your sin, all of his life, ever since Adam and Eve. It ain't worked at all.
So, I had a friend of mine give me his testimony this week. He got saved back in January 12th. He says his whole thing, his way of trusting Christ, was his, all of his works were standing in the way of being saved. And it was Rick Johnson. He told me he got saved January 2012.
Amen to that.
And you know, here's a guy that supposedly reads his Bible once a month and does all these things, and he says all the things, and he just couldn't understand why he couldn't see Christ and trust Christ alone for salvation. And then he got looking at him and his works, and then he finally came to it. Well, Christ has done it all. And he trusted Christ and got saved on January
2012. That's awesome.
I said, he's not glad God's lost. I said, so am I, Rick. I got saved September.
Well, you know, what you're saying is hard for mankind to accept. Mm-hmm. And the reason being, Brother Moore, I went and visited this guy. It was one of Brother Moore's friends. I'm telling you, it's somewhere you need to pipe sunlight over somewhere around Selma, out in the sticks. Now, he died about 3 years ago, I think. Remember his name, Trish, Carol?
Something Russell.
Leon Russell.
Leon Russell. And I sat on the porch with Leon and EC and myself. I was there just listening. They'd known each other for years, and I took EC by there. And Leon said, and it was still bothering me. Leon was a good Baptist. He did everything a good Baptist will do. All of his works, and he brought that same thing up. It was his works. He said, I saw this, I just couldn't give up all those things that I had done all them years. Now, this is an old man. Him and E.C. was the same age. He said, I just couldn't understand why all those things didn't have anything to do with my salvation. That's what I was told to do. I did it, and you can tell, he had a hard time. But he finally trusted the Lord. Now, this was before I ever made him be trusted. He trusted while EC was holding
Pine
View Bible Camp back many, many years ago. He owned the property that they built the tabernacle on, or the synagogue on. But it was an interesting story to hear the man. He said, sometimes I still think about the things that I did as a Baptist. All those things. So it happens, just like that man said.
TV this morning, I'm interviewing a Pentecostal preacher who spent 25 years as a minister, and he gave up on God. Now he has the church of atheists in Houston because he never got anywhere. In 25 years, he couldn't connect because he was working his way. He never got there, never understood.
That's a shame, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, sir, Richard.
I got a chance to talk with a fellow in Pensacola where I work. At Trinitas, and I told him that the day that the law died, and he said to me, that was a very dangerous statement you just made. Mm-hmm. The law never died. And I said, when Jesus Christ died, because he was the author of the law, the Word of God made flesh, it died. But and if you don't believe that, in other words, he really emphasizes living right. And so he said it was real dangerous. But I told him it's real dangerous to keep the law. Because it says, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse.
Are you looking for some new work after that?
I'm gone. Yes, I am gone. And it says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written of the book of the law to do them.
Curses everyone.
And so anybody, and really, works has to do with the law.
Well, you know.
And so they're cursed.
But you know, in Acts chapter 21, all those Jews were so zealous of the law.
Yeah.
They still did.
Yeah.
Yes. But you know, we're talking about Adam and Eve, and what they wanted to do, they wanted to take fig leaves and cover up themselves. That's what they made their so-called garment out of. And we've been doing it ever since because of the culture. And I was talking to somebody, I don't know who it was, this week about religion. And it was about the blood and how people absolutely believe the blood had to be taken to heaven. Because they've been man-made seminaries, man-made teachings, you know, and if you want to go back to Josephus and read that, that's fine. But don't take your doctrine out of the book of Josephus. No way. Don't take it out of Larkin. Don't take it out of anybody. Don't take it from E.C. Moore. Don't take it from me. You read the Bible and make sure what you're reading is the truth. That's what Acts 17:11 is about. Bill Berean. Somebody said, well, is that a denomination? I said, no, that's just an individual who goes in and checks to see what I'm telling you is the truth or not.
It's an attitude.
But yeah, it's a purpose in life now. I don't care who it is. But see, we've been taught so much about the fig leaf garments, good works, anything that we can do. We've been trying to save ourselves. Religion, all kind of religious education, reformation, and social groups at school, social groups here, not necessarily at school, it used to be, but social groups in the church. And the big thing is a social gospel. It's a gospel that doesn't offend anybody. Now this, the blood, offends people. First off, a lot of people don't want to hear about blood. That's gory. Well, it's real. How can the blood of the sacrificial lamb offend you? I don't understand that. I really don't. Well, what you're talking about God in the human form dying to pay for your sins. How can that be offensive to you? I don't get it. Now that I don't get it. Now, Adam and Eve, they failed you, and they failed me, they failed everybody. And matter of fact, all through the generations, mankind has continued to fail. Why? Because they can't help it. Somebody just hasn't got the skill or knowledge or whatever you want, and they never will have, to come up and cleanse their blood from the blood poisoning or it being tainted. It's not going to happen. But the only one that does is God. It's just an amazing thing. Now, in Genesis chapter 3:21, you ain't got to go, I'll read it for you. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The first animal sacrifice, right there, in Genesis 3:21, God made the first animal sacrifice. What did he do? He sacrificed the blood. He had to, because he had to kill the animals. That was a blood sacrifice. And then he took and he clothed them. Two things there. He protected them from the elements. That was a protection. Saved them from the hazards of the environment. But the big thing is he covered their sins with that blood. And they knew it. And they passed it upon their sin, their both their sons, Cain and Abel, and later on Seth. but Cain and Abel. They both knew it. They both knew it. Now, that was the first record of a sacrifice in the whole bloody book, okay? But there's three things about that act that God Himself showed you as a preview of His plan of redemption. First, Adam's sin called for God's intervention. But God had to intervene here on behalf of mankind. It must be God's work, not mankind's work. No matter how intelligent you are, it can't be your work. What's, man, I'm telling you. So God made those coats out of skin. Salvation, you know, the Scripture tells you salvation is of the Lord. It must be of the Lord. There is no other way. Wow. Salvation is of the Lord. That's a good ring. Secondly, salvation must be by the death of an innocent substitute. You know anybody else that can die for you? Just one. Now, what do you think that substitute was that God killed to cover their sins with blood and to clothe them with? Do you think it might be a little lamb? Nobody knows, but we'll speculate and say it might have been a little lamb. But that little innocent lamb had to die to save Adam and Eve as covering, as a remission. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. But just think about this. And one thing that leads me to believe that it was a lamb in the first place is this. Usually there's an antithesis in the Scriptures. There's a Christ, there's an Antichrist. There's a Satan, there's a God. It works that way. So if Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God in human form, why wouldn't He, in the first sacrifice, use a little lamb Himself? Just a thought. And thirdly, it must be by the shedding of blood. There is no other way. The animal must be killed to give its skin, and for this sacrifice, its blood must be shed. The Scripture tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. But not just because it was shed. I want to be really clear about that. Just the shedding of the blood didn't get the job done. The blood cleanses us. That's why I go into this is the blood. Because if you just crucified Him, and He's dead, and He was, without His resurrection for your justification, you're lost, and you're doomed and damned, and you're headed to hell right now. If that's not the truth, just a fact of life. You know, the word scarlet is in the Scriptures a couple of times, but the principle of the blood laid down in this first sacrifice that God made, it runs through this Bible like a scarlet line. Red, crimson, blood. It's in the book. Genesis chapter 4. You ain't got to go there. But in Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel bring a sacrifice each. As I've already told you, Adam and Eve have already been taught by their parents to sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Well, Abel did. Cain brought the work of his hands, working his way there. It failed, didn't it? So he got upset, like religion gets upset with us. They want to work themselves there. And I'm telling you, you'll catch a lot of backlash when you tell them you can't do it. Anything. Well, let me walk down the aisle. No. Let me do something. No. They get mad with you. That's what happened. Cain killed his brother. Don't be surprised if somebody wants to kill you. There are people in this world right now that want to kill you. Or when they ain't got guts enough to do it. They're so-called Christians. They're not Christians. They wanted Brother Moore dead, all them religious churches up in Montgomery, Alabama. They tried to run him off, and then he had somebody come by and said, you know, they want you dead, literally. But they ain't got guts enough to kill you. So they closed him down. Later on, all those people that were behind closing him down died. Now, that's a fact. They all died. Whoa! Probably within a year or two. Everyone that wanted him down, the leaders there, all died. That's an amazing thing to me. Do I think God killed them? I don't know. I don't think so. But they all died. Whatever happened, they all died. So, but there's people that want you dead for your belief system right now.
You know, it's really amazing when you expose people. Like this week, I was in Bethania Springs, and a guy told me that he had repented of his sins, and that he definitely believed in the grace of God, and that he was going to go to heaven by the grace of God. I said, you don't need the grace of God if you repent of all your sins. And
that's good.
You know, and you know, it was just sad, you know, that he was a work salvation and didn't even know it. And it's, you know, that you had to, he was a Southern Baptist and he had to confess Christ publicly, he had to do all this stuff. And now that he is alive, that he's living by the grace of God. And so that's what's really sad, is that people don't really even know what the grace of God is.
In Genesis chapter 9, actually in 8, Noah sheds the blood of some innocent, clean animals. In Genesis chapter 8 and in chapter 9, God makes a covenant with him. You know, rainbow, so forth, etc. But it's in Genesis 22. Now listen to this. Abraham, he took his son Isaac, went up to Mount Moriah by the directions of God himself. Went up there and took that son, laid the wood down, and put him on it. He left those two young men down below to stay. And he took Isaac, and he laid him up there. And I know Isaac, I can just see it as if it happened right here in front of me. Isaac, even though his daddy took him and laid him up there on that wood, that kindling, so he could set him on fire, kill him, and then burn him as a burnt offering, he didn't object to it. Because there was discipline with the children then. But you remember what happened whenever he picked up that knife and got stabbed in the heart. The angel of the Lord said, no, don't do that. But Isaac's big problem, and it was not a problem, his question was, where's the sacrifice? His daddy said, well, Isaac, God will provide a sacrifice. And all of a sudden, he looked over there in the bushes and he saw a ram. Not a lamb. A ram. Abraham is a type of God. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. He did not use a lamb for a sin offering. Think about this now. I'm telling you, nobody ever teaches you this. They just don't. But that substitute, that ram over there, it spared Isaac's life. Really. God spared it. But then they had to put the sins on something. And God provided his own sacrifice. Now, in Leviticus, you got all kinds tabernacle sacrifices going on. Blood, I mean, my God, just read Leviticus if you want to see the blood. It's everywhere. All through the rest of the book. And guess what? We chase that bloodline to where? Right there. And it stops. No more blood sacrifices. Now, there's some nutcases, and I'm telling you, I wish somebody would actually go out and shoot them. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because there's cults out here that I know that sacrifice babies. I ain't talking about cats and dogs on Halloween. I'm talking about babies. Now, I don't have any compassion for that at all. I'm not saying I'm going to forgive them of that. It's not my job to do that. You should forgive people, but I've got a hardened heart when it comes to somebody killing a baby or any other human being other than a war. But that's real. Do you know that's real? Just like you got those nut cases that I think Dave mentioned about the snake handlers, Billy. Didn't you see them? Somebody told me about them. I've read about them. I've never actually witnessed them. But people who sacrifice humans, I don't know. Now, there's something we haven't talked about, and we won't in this service. I've got a complete different service on the Passover lamb. So I'm going to hold that, because that's an important, that's very important for what we do with it. But I want you to see again the three conditions of God the Father, of a sacrifice. One is, it has to be God's own gift. It's a gift of God, right? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. For by way, what is it? For by faith are we saved? Or by grace, I'm getting it wrong. Or by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves? It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes?
You said it should have eternal life. That's life is in the blood.
Life is in the blood.
Yeah. Well, eternal life is in the blood of Christ.
In the blood here. And the reason I'm holding off on talking about Exodus chapter 12 and the Passover lamb is because the blood had to be applied, and we'll get to that. That's a different story than what we're talking about today. This had to be applied. That had to be applied. So I want to separate these two, okay? Now, we know the Bible says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, I want you to be on guard about anybody tampering with the Word of God. You can disguise it as a search for knowledge, search for truth, or a scholarly attempt at trying to find hidden meanings in the Scriptures. You got people all the time trying to pull something out of the Scriptures. They want to be somebody. They want to find something. They want credit for it. God's not out showing anybody anything new today. Now, the Scriptures will open up. But I can't. It's just like Azusa Street out in Los Angeles. Right, 1902. Do you think about the tongues? Do you think that it jumped over 19 centuries just to get to them? No way. No way. But you're going to have confusion created by the senseless rash of new versions, new editions, new translations. They're going to try to improve on something that's been tried and tested, which is the King James Bible. Be careful with them. But you've got to remember, before an individual can be saved, he first must learn that he can't save himself. Now, you can tell somebody the gospel message that has never heard anything at all, and they can trust the Lord right there on the spot. I do believe that. But if you're bogged down in religion, and you think there's a way to be saved, because you've been working yourself there, you're going to have to come to the reality of those works not getting me anywhere. I've just got to quit trying and start trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the only thing, I got a lot more to say, but the only thing that I'm going to show you right now is this. Just one thing. Let me get that out of the way, and then we'll take a break. Jesus Christ, follow me, I'll inject or what you want. Jesus Christ went to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's when they crucified him. Nailed him up there. He had sinless blood. Running around in his veins, arteries. They nailed him up. All sin and sins were placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood became tainted. Right? So tainted, if it was just one minute drop, that the Holy Spirit left him. One of the Trinity, which was this one, the Word, Jesus here, Father, the Holy Spirit left him because of sin. Couldn't be there. Then he went into the ground. So there's going to be a time factor. One thing is this, just to show you right up front, that blood became tainted and it spilled on the ground. Even if he wanted to, it laid there for 3 days. Some people try to say the moment that he gave up the ghost that he went to the Father. Oh, come on. He's still hanging up there. The blood was on the ground. So we know the moment he gave up the ghost, he didn't go to heaven because he was still hanging up there. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and said, let me have the body. I want to bury it. He was dead to that. Spices and everything. Wrappings. So the blood is laying on the ground. So now they take him off the cross and they bury him. Blood's still on the ground. That blood stayed there for 3 days and 3 nights. Nowhere in Scripture, when they slit the throat of a bullock or a lamb or any animal, did they let it run on the ground and then pick it up and sacrifice it. They caught it in a little basin. Do you think God's going to take his contaminated blood that's been laying on the ground and then collect it after he's renewed because, and then take it to heaven? Is that nuts? You know, the people have got this all wrong about the mercy seat. The Old Testament, they took the blood and they poured the blood on the mercy seat, on top of the Ark of the Covenant. It was 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 wide, and 2 cherubim, one on each end, facing each other with their wings covering it, made out of solid gold. This thing. But no way, because the blood is tainted, he would have took it to heaven. Of course, now you can start doing you a timeline, because he went down to Hades, which is the underworld. He went into paradise. But where was he circumcised? Where was these sins cut away? It had to be cut away so he could be renewed with the Holy Spirit. I say, and the Scripture doesn't tell you, I say the moment that they took him, well, the moment that he died, he gave up the ghost. From that moment, instantly, see, he was sinful hanging up there. That moment, he was circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. God cut those all those sins away from him in Colossians chapter 2, I think it's verse 11.
By the blood. Is that right? Wash away?
No. He cut them away. Circumcision is a cutting away. He cut all those sins away from the Lord Jesus Christ hanging up here after he died. He had to die. And then, the moment he died, it's 3 p.m., right? When he died, the earth quaked and he gave up the ghost. At 3 p.m., hell, paradise. this is the underworld. And then, of course, you've got the bottomless pit down here. That's no biggie. But from the moment he died at 3 p.m., this is what I'm preaching. This is what I believe, not scriptural, that those sins were cut away at the moment of his death. Because he went where? He went into paradise to preach to the captives. He couldn't have took anything sinful with him into paradise, could he? I don't think so. He might have, but I don't think so. And then he was renewed. He was born again. Stood up here. And he told them, hey, don't touch me. I have it. And this is something you need to think about too. Don't touch me because I haven't ascended to my Father yet. Well, if he'd have been up to heaven to take his blood, he would have ascended to the Father and done it all while I'm there. But he hadn't been up there yet. He hadn't ascended. Don't touch me. I haven't been up to the Father to be glorified. So he stood on the face of the earth here and he went up there. He got glorified and he came back. Did he take his sinful blood with him? No, he didn't. There ain't no mercy seat up there. Goodness gracious alive. These things in the Old Testament that's supposed to foreshadow things, there's a lot of things like Abraham and Isaac. And, you know, you can see analogies out of it. But this mercy seat ain't one of them. There ain't no blood up there of Jesus Christ. If it is, it's contaminated, and he couldn't take anything contaminated up there with him. And then, on top of that, he's sitting up there on the right-hand side of God the Father right now. I don't know anywhere in Scripture that it even alludes to the fact of him taking anything. But you can bet on it, it ain't no lamb's blood, and he's the Lamb of God. Check it out. I want you to check it out. You ain't going to see it. You're going to see lambs used for sin. But it was never poured on the mercy seat. And we're going to go into some of this later. Let's take a break.